From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, The Quantum Zoo, a tourist guide to the never-ending universe with Marcus Chone. Get ready for this. Should be an exciting evening. Here's some news of the day. Well, over in Indonesia, rumbling Mount Merapi unleashed a column of hot gas and sent clouds of ash tumbling down its slopes Thursday. 15,000 terrified villagers fled to safety. That's on top of the 11,000 last week. Some jumped in rivers to escape the searing heat, while others dashed down the volcano or clambered into the rock, the backs of trucks. Indonesia's most dangerous volcano has been venting steam and ash for weeks. But Thursday's burst was the largest yet, sending billowing dark gray clouds avalanching 3.5 miles down the mountain. Some scientists say a May 27th earthquake that killed more than 5,700 people in an area 25 miles south of Merapi may have contributed to the volcano's volatility in recent weeks. The mountain's lava dome has swelled, raising concerns that it could suddenly just collapse, sending scalding clouds of fast-moving gas, lava, rocks into the still-populated areas. And I'm wondering if this thing really does explode, if we'll see some of the ash and fallout here in the United States. You never know. Two men who say that Pfizer's cholesterol fighter Lipitor caused heavy health problems such as memory loss have sued the company, adding the world's biggest selling drug to a long list of those targeted by plaintiffs' attorneys. Charles Watson, 67-year-old Georgia man, charges that Lipitor caused his memory loss, nerve damage, and bouts of fatigue, according to his lawsuit. And another plaintiff, a 47-year-old trial attorney from New York, is also suing Pfizer in a separate suit over the side effects that he says are caused by Lipitor. He says the drug has ruined his life. A spokesperson for Pfizer said the company would vigorously challenge in court all claims in these suits, adding that Lipitor is one of the most studied cholesterol drugs in the world. In St. Peter's, Missouri, listen to this bizarre story. A woman, angry that her new puppy had died, pushed her way into a dog breeder's home and repeatedly hit her on the head with a dead chihuahua. The 33-year-old woman told police she had taken the puppy to a veterinarian who said it was only 4 weeks old and needed to be returned to the mother. But before she could return the puppy, it died. Early Wednesday, the woman went to the breeder's home, pushed her way inside, and began fighting with the breeder as she tried to make her way to the basement to get another puppy. The breeder wrestled the woman out of her house to the front porch, where the woman then hit the breeder over the head numerous times with the dead puppy. As she drove away, the woman waved the dead puppy out the driver's sunroof side, yelling threats at the breeder. She later called the breeder and threatened her and her family. Police are considering charges. An addiction center is opening in Europe's first detox clinic for game addicts, offering in-house treatment for people who just can't leave their games alone. Video games may look innocent, but they can be as addictive as gambling or drugs, just as hard to kick, says Keith Bakker, the director of the Amsterdam-based Smith & Jones Addiction Consultants. He has already treated 20 video game addicts, ranged in age from 13 to 30. Some show withdrawal symptoms, such as shaking and sweating when they look at a computer. His detox program begins in July, runs for 4 to 8 weeks, including discussions with therapists and efforts to build patients' interest in alternative activities. Now, that I never would have thought of. NASA has approved design changes to the space shuttle's fuel tank, clearing the way for the second flight since the loss of Columbia. A formal launch date will be set next week, but NASA officials say that Discovery could take off as early as the 1st of July. Well, we'll know more next week if this is going to happen. As we reported last night, because of a surgical bomb strike, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda Iraqi leader who led a brutal insurgency that included homicide bombings, kidnappings, and beheadings, was killed in an airstrike on a building north of Baghdad. Officials say the terror leader's identity was confirmed by fingerprints, facial recognition, and known scars. You can see the incredible bombing, incredible, on the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories. They wheeled out pictures of Zarqawi today, and I've got to tell you, with the I believe he's dead, no question about that. But I'd like to see some of the other bodies and victims that apparently were in that safe house, because they haven't wheeled them out yet. And also, the bombing looks so extensive, it's amazing that his body would be intact. I'd like to see all the others as well. The spiritual advisor and deputy to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi didn't know it, but he led the U.S. and Iraqi intelligence officials directly to the terror leader's door during a visit that he paid Zarqawi at a safe house. That brought about the Wednesday night airstrike that killed both men. The Zarqawi deputy, Abu Abdul Rahman al-Araki, was identified by intelligence officials at least 2 weeks ago with the cooperation of somebody inside the Zarqawi network. And I believe that person will probably get the $25 million bounty. Nearly $650 million to increase security of containers shipping into Seattle and other U.S. ports has been stripped out of a national security funding package moving through Congress this week, in a move that critics say makes the country more vulnerable to terrorist attacks. Opponents of the $648 million for port security said that it was too expensive and needed to be cut to satisfy President Bush's request that the supplemental budget for things such as the Iraq War and Hurricane Katrina reconstruction be brought under control. So they're going to whittle away at the port security. Canadian authorities detained activist filmmaker Alex Jones at the Ottawa airport late Wednesday night, confiscating his passport, camera equipment, and most of his belongings. Citizenship and Immigration Canadian agents stopped Alex, whose films include Martial Law, 9/11, The Rise of the Police State, and questioned him before letting him go with only one change of clothes and telling him to return Thursday morning. Jones and his crew of camera operators traveled to Canada to film a documentary about the Bilderberg Group, a secretive group of former politicians and business leaders who are meeting in Ottawa this week. Let me tell you a little bit about this group. They are very secretive. When they meet, they clear out the guests and employees in the buildings in which they are to meet. They completely debug the rooms. They bring in their own cooks, waiters, housekeepers, heavily armed security guards. They do not allow outsiders anywhere near the meeting place, just before, during, and immediately after. And some say in recent meetings, the security forces were told to shoot to kill if anybody tried to get near. Well, Alex Jones tried to get near, and he'll be our guest in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, he's a filmmaker, researcher, journalist. His websites, PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, are on the cutting edge of alternative news. Alex Jones, a regular guest on Coast to Coast AM. You must be exhausted, Alex.
Well, George, it would be right around 48 hours since I last slept, but I did take about an hour and a half nap a few hours ago for this broadcast. I wouldn't miss it for the world. And it's always great to see other journalists and people defend colleagues when things like this happen. I have been through one of the worst experiences of my life, and I can't believe it happened here on the North American continent. It is unspeakable what I've been through. And for those that don't know, the Bilderberg Group, we are able to get their minutes every year out of these resorts that they have these meetings at. It's 125 of the most powerful people in the world, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Dutch royalty, British royalty. And we know that they literally set the price of oil. We know they decide who's going to be attacked. We know that they are openly pushing for the American Union, that even Lou Dobbs of CNN has now talked about. He got their own documents last year. And it's all happening with CFR, the Trilateral Commission. They're all at their bidding. I personally saw David Rockefeller today. I saw James Wolfensohn, the former head of the World Bank. Of course, the current head of the World Bank was also photographed by other reporters that were here. So it's all going on right now here in the capital of Canada. But yesterday, I tried to fly in on Wednesday, and I was interrogated for 15 hours.
Okay, so you were leaving from where? Austin, Texas?
We flew out of Austin, all connected right through from Chicago. There are no direct flights from Austin to Ottawa. It's really a town of about 400,000. And we came into the capital, very beautiful place, and hundreds of people were coming off the flights, and they were flagging probably one out of 50 or so. They flagged myself, both my cameramen, called us in, searched everything we had. And, to chronicle everything that happened, they began screaming at us. They said, "You're not journalists, you're not reporters." And then hours later, they said, "Oh, we know who you are. I've seen your documentary, Alex Jones. You know, I've seen one of your films." And they said, "You're here for the conference, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I've already told you I'm here to cover politics." And they said, "Yeah, you're here for the Bilderberg Group. You're not planning to infiltrate, are you? Because you're not allowed to do that."
Like Bohemian Grove, right?
Yes, they knew all about it. And later, they admitted to the 15 hours they slipped up. Two separate members admitted of their customs and immigration that they were told to do this to me. It was even in the front page of the Ottawa Citizen yesterday that the police and locals were, quote, working and taking orders from the Bilderbergs because their prime minister is scheduled to be in attendance this weekend, and he's a Bilderberg Group delegate. They're called delegates. They actually even vote. I mean, this is the real 125-person world government. We have their own internal documents going
back. This is the Illuminati. This is what we talk about all the time, Alex.
This is the folks. I mean, this is the folks. And George, I mean, this is really scary. Do you know the type of stuff that was done to me?
I have read your website all day. And first of all, I want to tell you two quick things, Alex. I've been getting emails from our Canadian brothers and sisters all day who are outraged at what happened to you. And they're embarrassed. And some of them have asked me, and they've apologized in whatever way they can. Be that as it may, I'm reading your website this morning, and then later on this afternoon, they actually confiscated your laptop and said that you're going to be arrested if you had porn on your laptop. Is that true?
Yes. Well, if it was hundreds of things they did, but imagine sitting there in an interrogation room while computer experts have both our business laptops hooked up. And they said, even if there's mainstream porn, you're going to be arrested. It's illegal to transport porn. And I thought,
not that you would be doing that.
I went to an email. I said, I hope nobody did anything wrong. They searched them all, found absolutely nothing. Folks, we're not talking about them looking for some type of bad porn. We're talking about them telling me that there was some law that if on business computers, anybody who knows this, email, stuff you download, it's all over the web. Thank God there was nothing on either computer. They tried as hard as they could, and they were telling me that I was going to go to prison. And then they came right out. And listen, imagine having the head customs official over you in an interrogation room, and this is in front of witnesses, in front of my cameramen, saying, "You Americans bleep all over us, and you know I can't wait to, you know, you can go to jail." Now imagine, George, I get off the plane, they call me in, they know who I am, they bring me in, they say, "Who are you?" I go, "I'm Alex Jones. I'm in the media." "Well, what do you do?"
You had a passport, right?
Yeah, I had a passport. We all had them. No criminal record. They checked all that. Nothing on my record. Nothing on my cameraman's record. And imagine, this is how it goes. We've all seen the movies where the cops want to, you know, really get a bad guy, so they start making stuff up. Well, this is what happened, but I'm not a bad guy. They would say, "What do you do? What kind of media?" And I said, I make films. And they'd say, "You're a liar. We see on your website you're a radio host." And I go, "Well, I also do that." "Oh, you do both." And I said, "Look." And then hours into this, the head guy just goes, "Oh, yeah, I've seen one of your films years ago. No, I know your media." This is after hours of telling me
I'm
a liar.
And then they just let you go?
Pardon me?
Then they just let you go?
Well, this is after 15 hours. The whole story gets even crazier. I mean, imagine being shouted at, being cussed at, all of this. I was like, am I in the Twilight Zone? Them trying to find anything, going through our cameras, watching our videotapes, pulling out memory sticks for still cameras and saying, you know, sticking them in cameras, trying to find something, on and on and on and on and on. asking me questions, you know, telling me to shut up. They would do the thing like you see in Full Metal Jacket with a Marine Corps drill sergeant where, why are you here? Well, I'm here. I told you to shut up. Don't you talk to me.
Yeah.
And then answer my question. And then you're not answering my question. I mean, over and over, 15 hours, George, 15 hours of six people taking turns doing this to me. And I actually felt sorry for them. I couldn't believe it. But how did I get out of this? They said, after 15 hours, well, actually about 14, they said, we're putting you on a plane. We're flying you back. You're not allowed to be in Canada. And all of a sudden, they came in panicked. They were freaked out. They'd gotten a call from higher up in government. Little did I know, Jim Tucker of American Free Press and the CBC that was wanting to interview me had had a press conference in front of the Bilderberg group where they were meeting. It had been on TV. They came in almost crying, and they said, listen, we've been ordered to do this. We don't like and you could tell how crazy they were getting. They weren't being professional. These people have been told, they later admitted, to do all this to me. They were freaking out. They said, listen, I have an 8-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old daughter. I don't want to lose my job. Please just go out there and tell them that you were rude or something.
Mm.
George, this all happened. They said,
incredible.
We were ordered to do this by the – they kept calling it the conference. We were ordered to do this by the conference, and they said, we really apologize. Just – and so I had to stand there with these guys on each side of me to the media and say, look, we worked it out. Everything's fine. But on hindsight, I'm not going to lie to people. So you see me in the Ottawa Citizen saying, hey, everything's all right. No, everything is not all right, and I did this under duress. And this is like the Soviet Union. And I literally had these people freaked out with tears in their eyes saying they have families, they were ordered to do this, that they're now in a bunch of trouble. So this, and now I have to still go back through this later this weekend.
I mean,
Lord knows what's going to happen to me, George. This is probably just round one.
I was going to say, how long is this conference, this Bilderberg conference?
It runs until Sunday. They all came in today. And by the way, after the break, I can tell you about David Rockefeller coming in.
Sure.
The elites coming in, plainclothes cops coming up and going, so you're planning something violent. And I'm like, no, I'm peaceful. I've never been known for violence. I'm here to report. Oh, Alex, where are you staying?
The worst that you've done that I've ever seen you is you use a megaphone. That's it. That's it. To me, that's not bad. I don't know if you were going to do that or not this time.
No, I didn't bring a megaphone. In fact, we had it packed, and I just said, you know, guys, I'm not bringing this. But George, I was terrorized. I mean, this is worse than any movie where you're at the Nazi checkpoint or you're in the Soviet Union. I'm sure you've seen the Clint Eastwood movie Firefox where he's going through the Soviet checkpoints. I mean, this was, imagine being cussed at and screamed at by people in gray uniforms with black flak vests. I mean, they were dressed like stormtroopers on the Death Star. I mean, I was literally, and frankly, at one point, George, I'll be honest with you, my best friend died just about a month ago.
Sorry to hear that.
My point is, well, thank you. I didn't even cry when he died because I internalize things and I really don't deal with it. With these people screaming at me and lying about me and trying to say I was a liar and doing all this, I actually got a few tears in my eyes and they saw it. They started laughing. And I told them, I said, you know, I feel sorry for you. This makes me sad for freedom. This makes me sad for what we've turned into. And I realize it's coming to America. It has nothing to do with terrorism. It's all about controlling the population. And here are these police and all these people protecting these arch globalists when we've gotten their own corporate minutes where they talk about all this criminal activity. We have 125 global elitists, royalty, you name it, meeting, colluding, racketeering. I mean, by every yardstick, that's what it is. To combine their billions together to bring in world government. We have their own internal documents. It's been in major publications, even Reuters, and we know what they're doing. And so as a reporter who is simply here with the TV crew to try to document this and also with accredited journalists wanting to interview me, I went through 15 hours of literal hell. I mean, George, they terrorized me, and all they were trying to get was some admission that I'd lied or something else.
They wanted to get you out of there. They wanted to send you back. They didn't want you to attend this meeting.
Yes, sir, but it was more than that. It was, you are now under oath. You must sign this document admitting that you've done this and that. I mean, this was unbelievable. I mean, I have to admit, I thought I knew about the police state. I was naive. I thought this stuff was going on in some of the former Eastern, you know, bloc, maybe Tajikistan or something.
What is happening to people, Alex? Why are they getting this? And also tell me that, you know, you, you, your your love of Canadians has not been diminished, I trust.
Well, I mean, because it's the stereotype. It's the stereotype. I mean, they're nice, wonderful people. They're all shocked. I was out at Bilderberg, you know, today out there on the side of the road out front, and I probably had 20 cars stop who just saw me. And they said, oh, we're so sorry. You're here to help us. The stereotype's true. It's not the Canadian people. These guys were ordered to do this. They were totally freaked out the whole time. I wondered why they were so freaked out. It was because they were being asked to do things they didn't like. And so they had been told to do all this. They slipped up twice and told me, and it was also in the paper, though, once I got out today and saw it, that Bilderberg is advising and controlling the police forces right here because one of their members is the prime minister.
Oh, it tells me, Alex, you're getting very, very close to something. Stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment. We'll talk about this conference now of the Bilderbergs, and you can tell us a little bit about what goes on in some of these meetings. And then I tell you what, we'll also open up the phone lines. If we have time this hour, we'll give you an opportunity to ask Alex a question. I'm George Norrie. He's been up for 48 hours. Alex Jones, he's next on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, my favorite police officer from Chicago, Bill Fast, blasts me to explain what he believes happened on this Zarqawi situation, because I'd like to know where all those other bodies are that were in that safe house. Everybody was blown to bits. How could he have his body intact? Well, police officer Bill tells me that he believes that they surgically removed his face, stitched everything back together. He says there's no question his body was blown to bits during those two 500-pound bombs. And he thinks that's his theory. That I could understand if they would tell us that, but I haven't heard that from anyone else. I just want to let you know about the After Dark newsletter and the complimentary copy of the Double After Dark CD we are giving you. The newsletter, of course, comes out every month. It is a great news magazine. Take advantage of picking that up on a subscription basis. And when you do, we'll send you for free, you just pay a nominal shipping and handling cost, the Double After Dark CD, which includes bumper music, ghost stories, and some great calls to the program. I believe we have gone through the first batch of the 1,000 CDs that we had pulled in from the producer, and he had 1,000 left. We've picked those up, and then they are all gone, so we're starting to whittle that away, too. So take advantage of it, 1-888-727-5505, or go online, coasttocoastam.com. Well, the few of you who are saying that this story did not occur, that Alex is making it up, I urge you to go to www.canada.com, look at the story that is in the Ottawa Citizen, where they have written a complete story on Alex's plight. Alex, the Bilderberg Group, what are they talking about? I mean, they go from place to place, don't they?
Well, they do, George. Can I address what you just said?
Oh, sure.
First?
Absolutely.
I mean, you've vetted what I cover. You do your research. I don't come on the air and make stuff up. The Bilderberg Group is real. There really is 125 people that have been meeting since 1952, the Bilderberg Hotel in Germany. It was founded by the Crown Prince of the Netherlands, who was a Nazi colonel. And it is the Rockefellers. It is the Rothschilds. It's 5 years ago they denied it. Now it's been in the New York Times, everywhere else. So I don't know what they're denying. CBC interviewed me. It's been on TV here.
It's real.
I mean, mainstream media was totally freaked out. They were real mean to the mainstream TV crews that showed up to the airport because I was scheduled for interviews. They started calling. I'd just gotten a call out to my wife. They called her. She told them they weren't letting me take calls. All of this happened. And so for those that are living in denial, I'm sorry, we're going to post photos of the head of the World Bank and others that we were able to videotape today, screenshots of that tomorrow, on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Those have been emailed out to my webmasters tonight. We got them out tomorrow morning. They'll be posted. But if they're not already posted, we sent them out a few hours ago. But one of my webmasters is in England, so he won't be getting up for a few hours. But going back to who they are, We have gotten the minutes out of the meetings. We understand their agenda. It is an American union, a European union. They've gotten many of their goals. It's the Amero dollar. It's blanket amnesty. It's the amnesty plan. It's a world tax. They're going to use the fraud of global warming. We go through normal cycles. But even if global warming was real, their solution is a global tax that has nothing to do with even stopping it, whether it's real or not. And understand, it has been in the London Guardian, it has been in the Portugal Times, it has been in big Italian papers, that every year other reporters are arrested, deported, or interrogated. Just today, two reporters that were here on the ground giving interviews to the media about their experiences were Jim Tucker, covering it for 27 years, and of course Daniel Estolan, who writes for major papers in Spain. This happened to them. So Bilderberg, and it was also in the Ottawa papers today, that again, Bilderberg, they admit, is, quote, advising Ottawa's security. And I was told that before I even read the paper, that Bilderberg, you know, had told them how bad I was, and was I planning to infiltrate like I did Bohemian Grove, and on and on and on. You've seen the mainstream news articles where they talk about how they're shoot to kill.
This is all true. They clear out the hotel they're in. Everybody goes. The employees go. Everybody goes.
Well, again, you've got LexisNexis. You've got Google, folks. 6 years ago, until about 5-6 years ago, there had never been a mainstream news article about it other than saying it doesn't exist. It's a crazy conspiracy theory to say it exists. This shows the power of this group. And, George, it gave me great pleasure today. I'm not intimidated by them. Lord knows what will happen to me standing up to them. But I just trust in God. But I had cameramen on both sides of the road. They had to go through, and in this gate, they would open this gate up and to go into the main resort. And then we had telephoto lenses filming them getting out. We also got that. But they would drive by, and there's David Rockefeller. There's Henry Kissinger, even through the tenant windows. We got video of them, and they would cover their faces. Why do these people cover their faces? Again, they don't even like it that it is publicly known. Top politicians, top bankers, some current politicians, the elite of the world, royalty. It's unbelievable. All going and meeting for 3 days. They come in on Thursday. They meet Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they play golf. It's always at a golf course. There's a golf course behind this hotel and resort. And the owner of the hotel, of course, is a Bilderberg delegate. And, again, the prime minister is a member. So this is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is really happening. And if you just type Bilderberg Group into Google, I know, George, we've written a bunch of articles on it. Mm-hmm. You guys link to it routinely. You've had guests on that cover this. And they have this diabolical plan for a one-world government, and their program, they're a bunch of cockroaches, cannot stand the light of day. They want to scurry under their rat hole. They want to have their big mafia Don meeting. They want to try to scheme and continue to set their program up. But the good news is we've been getting documents out. What happens is Jim Tucker and others, they check in to these resorts about a week before, and then 2 days before the elite comes, they get kicked out. And they talk to people at the bar, they talk to the maids, and they say, listen, these elites are coming. They're not going to let you look them in the eyes. That's one of the rules. You're not allowed to look them in the eyes or talk to them, the employees. And I know you don't want to help me now, but when you see how evil they are, will you get me documents? And it's always been vetted. They get them out of the trash cans. They get the data. They get it out. And the leaks are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the leaks we've gotten are just – they gave the order to Rumsfeld in 02. They said, you will not invade in 02. You will invade in March of 03. That was reported by reporters covering it a full year before that actually happened.
This is the shadow government, isn't it?
Yes. The fall of the Berlin Wall to be staged was reported 1 year before it happened. I mean, that's the type of data that we get out of these meetings. That's how important... I mean, this is the top 100. There's 100 regular delegates. Then they have 25 guests. Bill Clinton was a guest a year before he was elected president. George Bush Sr. was a guest a year before he was elected president. John Kerry was a guest. His running mate was a guest the year before he ran. All of these people, the Prime Minister of Canada was a guest and became a member a year before he was recently elected. This is the elite. And they're all there. Wolfowitz, Wolftonson, I mean, they're all there. Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller. He was photographed today. It's all going up on mainstream CBC websites, I'm told, tomorrow. The big Montreal paper, it's going up. I mean, there was a line. Look, the Bilderberg Group has gone from mainstream media totally ignoring it. You're not allowed to touch it. I probably saw five TV crews, mainstream, you know, with big.
Oh, and I am sure they don't like it, Alex. They don't like it.
I mean, lines of huge telephoto, you know, those big cameras you see for National Geographic safaris, you know, the big foot and a half long lenses, lines of them, four or five satellite trucks, TV cameras everywhere. And when they were pulling through, I wouldn't have done this unless they had given that order to do this to me. I was standing there, and as they drove by, I had to stop at the gate. I was yelling at them, and by the way, being rooted on by Ottawa police, that they agreed. They knew about it. It's surprising how many Canadians know about this more than the average American. I was screaming at them that I'm not your slave, and how dare you do that, and we don't want your world government, and we don't want NAFTA, and we don't want the American Union. And so I sat there as David Rockefeller and Wolftonson, the former head of the World Bank, and all these guys are going through. I probably screamed at 20 of their cars until I was just so exhausted near dark. I came back to the hotel. And George, thank you so much for having me on to expose this, because this endangers all journalists. Folks, the journalists have all rallied to me here, even mainstream national TV and radio, because they know the danger. When they go after one journalist, they go after us all.
I had a friend of mine send me an email this morning, Alex, when this all happened. They said, you got to find your buddy. And this is the first I heard about it. And I opened up my email and said, uh-oh, got to track him down. So here we are. Let's take some calls while you're still awake here, all right?
Sure.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
We're well, thanks.
This is Brad calling from Sacramento, listening on 650 KST.
Sure.
And I had a question for Alex. And it is, have you heard of the Bronson, let me spell it, Bronsfman family in Canada?
Talking about the Brothmans.
Yeah, they did the same exact thing to David Icke when he went up there to do a conference.
Yeah, no, he wasn't allowed into the country. That was mainstream news. They tried to stop him, held him for like half a day, and it was the same thing. They claimed that his wild theories that I don't even agree with were code for something, and that was in Canadian papers.
Right.
Well, I know.
He had the same story, though. When after they got to hold him, they were apologizing to him, telling him, oh, say this, say that. I read the same thing, and I'm surprised David's not calling up. I mean, more people, I think they're moving their agenda up faster. I'll make this quick, because they know more people are becoming aware.
No, you're right. That happened about 5 years ago, and I did interview him, and I did read the account, and you just made me think of that. It's almost identical.
Alex, what did they think you were going to do? I mean, you weren't allowed in the building, right? So what were you going to be able to do anyway? So
there's literally Canadian Secret Service, police out there with machine guns, and you're not going to do anything.
You're just out there with the other media.
I'm just out there. But at the end, they just said, look, the Bilderberg Group, well, they kept calling it the conference. This elite conference is concerned, you know, we can't believe we've been ordered to let you go. The media's all out there. You've done it now. And I don't know what other repercussions I'm even going to get from
you. You were just getting off the plane, minding your own business.
And they just kept calling me a liar. It's like, you're not a reporter. And then, well, wait, you say you're media, you say you're video, but then you say you're a talk show host. I'm like, look.
Look, first of all, you are a reporter, you are a talk show host, you are a filmmaker. Regardless, if you were not, what right did they have to stop you the way you did when you got off the plane?
Oh, it was, George, they were going over me with a fine-tooth comb. It was a white-glove inspection. And telling me, if anything is wrong here, if we can find anything.
We got you.
They told me you're going to a Canadian prison.
Man, first-time caller line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hello. Hello, George and Alex. This is Arnold from Nebraska.
Sure.
Alex, I take my hat off to you for what you've been through. Man, I'm in tears. You know, I check your website every day, and after what you've been through, I'm just pretty much in tears, and I feel for you. My question is, why has it taken the Bloombergers and the Illuminati so long to get their plan into effect? When years passed, they could have done it easily.
Well, that's a good point. Their agenda is behind schedule. Everywhere the light of day is shown, the Bilderberg Group's program, they get further and further behind. They are totally freaked out right now. They're trying to intimidate everybody. And I think their whole program is behind schedule. That's why the New World Order is funding terrorism. That's why it is controlling these radical Islamist groups. There is a group. I mean, we're talking about the group, folks, and we have clear evidence that this group is using international terrorism to carry out their operations.
Don't they know I call you the bulldog, for crying out loud?
You know what, George? I mean, these guys are on such power trips. They're not worried. And I think they're shocked that people are willing to stand up to them. I guess they thought I would just roll over. I guess they thought that the Canadian press and that George Norrie and the Canadian people, the American people, would just put up with this. And I'm counting on you guys, because I've got to go back through these people again, and Lord knows what's going to happen. There's so many things I didn't tell you because there's not enough time. It was so bizarre. I mean, 15 hours of just crazy interrogation and weirdness and trying to get me to contradict myself. And it was off the charts. And
have you ever in your life gone through something like this?
No. I mean, I haven't. And I mean, listen, I've been to England. I've been to Latin America. 30 questions. I've been questioned, you know, for 15 minutes. I don't mind. And it's always been real questions. It was like, okay, you know, they'll try to contradict you. You answer it. This was like freaked out. They were doing things they don't normally do. They had been told to do this. And finally, they came right out with it. The Bilderberg Group, well, again, they call it the conference, is very concerned about you. And do you swear that you're not going to sneak in? And I said, I already told you that 15 times. And they said, well, do you swear you're not going to cause a problem? Do you swear you're not going to do this and that? And on and on. So we have an admission that the Bilderberg Group had me stopped. I mean, understand, they break you up in different lines. So you go to different windows. There's a whole line of windows. And so as you come up, you go to different windows. They weren't putting anybody into this penalty box, into this room. It was us. It was me and my two cameramen. They knew who we were immediately. They scanned our passports. They said, you, over there. I mean, we were on the computers, and I got over there, and I mean, I got the third degree. It was unbelievable.
Facial recognition. They spotted you probably coming off the runway.
That's right. There's facial recognition everywhere, and I noticed they were looking at me for the 30 minutes I was in line with all these people in front of me. I noticed they kept looking at me. I noticed more of these armed people came, you know, up to the front and were staring at me, and I said, don't be paranoid. Because you don't want to believe this.
They didn't like grab you though, like they were going to cuff you or anything, did they?
No, they just had the arm, you know, the armed people lined up there, and they said, "You go over there."
Was everybody looking at you like, "What did this guy do?"
You know, not really. They were all just trying to get to the line. I mean, they just directed me over, and if I would have obviously. Oh, and one thing I haven't mentioned to the press or anybody that I forgot about, George, just briefly. Is I'm sitting there with my two cameramen in between the interrogations about 4 hours into this, and I said, and they told me, we're sending you back tomorrow, but we're not going to do it till 1 or something. And for some reason, I had to talk to some examiner, and I'm sitting there, and he's, you know, the head guy and lady are over behind the counter, and then Ryan Slickhuis, one of my cameramen, goes, so what's going to happen, Alex? Because I've just been behind closed doors. And I said, I guess we just stay here till tomorrow, and then we get on the plane and we leave. And the guy starts yelling, did I hear you say you're going to escape? You'll go to jail if you try. I mean, it was like everything I said, and at that point, that's when I said, this is not Russia. And I said, you just clearly heard what I said. There's cameras and microphones all in here. I said, it's clear that we're going to have to get back on a plane and go home. Now, you heard what I said. And all of a sudden, they ran out around the thing, took me back in another room, yelled at me some more. I mean, it was sick, George.
I mean, so if you raised your voice at all, they came all over you. They just jumped.
That was the only time I raised my voice. He was accusing me of trying to escape. I'm sitting there, and they're like, you know, hey, boss, what's happening? What'd they say? I go, looks like we stay here till tomorrow, and then you know, we've got to leave. And then what? You're saying you're going to leave? You're going to try to escape?
Alex, look, you and I both know what the agenda is of the Bilderbergs, the CFR, and other organizations. You better watch your back. This is coming from somebody who is watching this unfold, and you're getting more and more exposure. You were just on national news a few weeks ago with Charlie Sheen, and I understand you and Charlie are going to be on this program in a couple weeks. Watch your back, all right?
Absolutely, George. Thanks for having me on. We'll have the photos and our work that we're risking our lives for on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com for folks tomorrow. And I made the film, The Order of Death, that gets into this elite and how they operate. Thanks for the support, George.
All right, get some sleep, huh? It's Alex Jones. He merely was getting off the plane, and you heard what happened. But this is a very powerful group, the Bilderbergs. A lot of people said, hey, come on now. But no, the Bilderbergs, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, you've heard about it. All you got to do is see what's unfolding worldwide with everything, microchipping, everything. It's their plan. Be careful, Alex. I'll be back in a moment with our special guest, Marcus Trone, the Quantum Zoo. This is going to be a fun interview, so get ready for that.